to bring glad tidings to the poor. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to him to ask him, "Who are you?" he admitted and did not deny it, but admitted, "I am not the Christ." So they asked him, "What are you then? Are you Elijah?" He said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you, so that we can give an answer to those who sent us? What do you have to say for yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as Isaiah the prophet said." Some Pharisees were also sent. They asked him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ or Elijah or the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but there is one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie." This happened in Bethany across the Jordan where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So when I arrived at this ministry, I was doing parish ministry at my last parish, obviously. And as I was doing that, we didn't have very many weddings. But something we did do a lot of is annulments. And it gave me quite an appreciation for how much broken marriages, broken families are out there, even in our Catholic family, and the need for healing, of reconciling. It's just a weight that we carry. And so when I got here, I could say that I did probably, for every one marriage that I did, I helped people with about three annulments. So it's about a 3-to-1 ratio. This has kind of shifted being here, doing college ministry, because certainly you don't have people who have been married and divorced, but a lot of preparation for marriage. And I certainly think this kind of understanding, walking with so many people through their own marriages, their own divorces, has kind of colored my how can I best prepare this generation? And so there's a question I always ask. And it is, it's a little thought exercise. What would be the worst day of your marriage? Like, just take a moment to conceive of, like, how bad could it get? The worst thing that could happen. And usually kind of, as you're kind of going through the thoughts, they most often come up with, you know, a death of a child. And certainly that would be a terrible burden and a pain to carry. But in some ways, that's the parent's job, of walking their children to give them back to the Lord. And that's your child as a parent, but not your marriage. And then usually, well, what happens if adultery happens? And how to come through that? And it's like there again is a terrible thing, super traumatic to a marriage. But then what? Because there's a day after that. And then what happens? And usually you get to the point, whenever I have this discussion of, well, what if that person doesn't want to be married anymore, that they give up? They just don't want to be there. And they decide to leave you and go make a life with somebody else and start a new family in a new direction. And what power do you have over this person to stay in a relationship with you? It's like, okay, well then say that's day dawns on your marriage. Well then what? Now what do we do? I usually bring this up because that really is the question. Well now what? And I usually like to point out when marriage vows are made, it doesn't have the little caveat at the end of, well, if you do your part, I'll do my part. Well, if you're faithful, I'll be faithful. That it still just comes down to, you made a promise to be faithful. Are you willing to do that? Even when everything, every good, say, a marriage can give you is taken away. To say yes to that. And truly, I think this is touches on the sacrament of marriage, of that there is something greater at work. That this isn't just a human activity. As in, I can, by my own power, make these things work. But to say yes on a level like that, and make no mistake, there are those among us who live in this state, and how much of a witness they are of what fidelity could truly look like. And it comes down to that choice of, well, can I keep saying yes? Our first reading, Prophet Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. So the Spirit that comes, and it commissions this person with a mission. And we can truly see in this the ministry of Jesus. In this ministry, he himself cited when he was first starting. Walks into a synagogue, opens a scroll, reads the very passage that we heard from Isaiah, and gives the shortest homily ever, which is, today, this is fulfilled in your hearing. Christ himself, who is the very fulfillment of this passage. And how startling it is to hear St. John the Baptist's words. There's somebody who's already in your midst who is coming after me. It's not generations later in ages past or ages to come. It's somebody who's already here in our group is where Christ is going to reveal himself. Like how near he is, but yet we don't yet recognize him. In this waiting for the Lord, this longing for him, this looking for him, and that the nearness of the Lord is intended to give us hope. To remind us, he's not on a journey. God didn't fall asleep. He didn't just wind up creation and said, good luck. He's one who is already here in our midst, so near to us. Sometimes we can even miss him because he's closer to ourselves than we are to our very selves. But to look for the Lord in those moments where he will reveal himself. And so this longing to be with the Lord, is this yes. But I would say how often we are unfaithful, that we are the one who strays from the relationship. Isaiah promised that the Spirit, when it comes, is going to preach the good news to the poor and proclaim liberty to the captives, to be set free. In this desire for freedom, this desire for what the Lord will give, that there is this, we need to move towards the Lord to find that freedom. And yet this isn't a freedom that we can give to ourselves. And so that turning and saying yes to the Lord, how great of an act of faith that is, to say yes in those moments. But then comes the realization that Jesus is the faithful spouse. He's the one that never has turned away from us. And so that the Lord who is near isn't just standing by when we come to our senses, but is that spouse who is actively being faithful to us unconditionally for anything that we do. That this is the Lord and how he loves us and how close he is and ready to reconcile. And so that there's us giving our yes to him, but he has always been yes. He has always been there waiting for us. And so that this time of preparation is really kind of a time of moving towards the Lord. But he has always been moving towards us. And this turning towards each other, this waiting to meet. I would say how simple it is that all that he asks of us is to be ready to receive what he wants to give. That there is no more efficacious thing, there's nothing more productive that we can do in a day than to receive the grace that God wants to give. That we are not here because we're set with the mission of being holy or creating a utopia or fixing all of the world's problems or our personal problems. It is merely this slight shift to the Lord who is already here in our midst and being reminded this how much he loves us and is longing to be with us. And so this act of receptivity, I think sometimes can be a little ambiguous. It's a little of, okay, well, yeah, I want to be with the Lord, but what does that actually look like? And I can think of no better list of little explanations than our second reading, St. Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. So if we want to receive this love that is already so near to us, what do? Rejoice always. Our rejoicing isn't conditional. It's not when you feel like it. It is a command to all Christians to rejoice always. And it's not rejoicing in the joys, the pleasures of the world, but that even when all of those things can be taken away, there is still something that remains, and that this firm foundation is the cause of our joy. And so to receive what the Lord wants to give, well, then rejoice. And that opens us up to this gift that the Lord has to give. Pray without ceasing. To live in this communion. In all circumstances, give thanks to the Lord. Gratitude. To even say thank you for the gifts that we do not want. I'd rather something else be given, but it's the gift that's given. And so when it is a gift, to say thank you. And how powerfully that opens us up to receive. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. Test everything. Retain what is good. Refrain from every kind of evil. It's a way of living, right in that short little passage. There's all the things of the world. We pray about it. We test it all. What is good, we keep. The garbage, just throw it away. And in this very simplicity of receiving the Lord, that we are preparing ourselves for his arrival. And certainly this is an activity we do every time we come to the sacrament. We always start with our penitential rite of reminding us, as like, why do I need the Lord? Because he is already here in our midst, ready to show himself. Shows up in the word, in the sacrament, in the gathering of the community. And in so many ways, he makes himself known. And then comes the reminder of how he showed up in the flesh. And that Christ, who is the incarnation, is incarnated in us being gathered together. And then we wait for the future graces, the things that where he will show up. And that this coming of the Lord is promised. It will happen. And this looking for him, waiting for it, and when those graces come, to receive them. And how many things will distract us, tell us not to receive them, just because of what might be asked of us, the direction that the Lord might leave, the scariness of holiness, all the excuses we can come up with not to receive. But we are here for one reason and one reason alone, because Christ is here.